The Burgess Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation empowers students to learn through action by providing campus-wide programs, courses, and resources to test ideas, foster an entrepreneurial mindset, develop empathy, and create new ventures. Learn more at eship.msu.edu.
Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name's Chelsea Stein. I'm the communications manager on the Broad College marketing and communications team. So I do all things content, you know, storytelling, whether that's through news stories or press releases on the Broad College website. I also manage all of the official Broad College social media channels. So all the content and wonderful, you know, student and alumni stories that we push out through those channels. I also get to help out our dean, Dean Gupta, with, you know, preparing communications on his side and really just help showcase the mission and values of the college overall.
What drew you to that position? I mean, what excites you about what you do? And for anyone who's sort of interested in going into communications, what might be your advice to them?
So the first part, so what made me interested in the position? So I'm a Spartan. I bleed green. I graduated twice from MSU. My undergrad was in the Broad College. I studied general management. General's in the title, so I wasn't super sure where I wanted to go. Ended up staying at MSU and getting my master's in public relations over at ComArts. And so my master's was really where I found myself, you know, and thought I'm in the right place at the right time, felt really in touch with the coursework and whatnot. So that kind of helped me realize that that's what I wanted to do. Over the years, I have some background in nonprofit work. That's kind of what I did right after graduating from my master's. And on the side, you know, I would kind of volunteer and do some PR and content work as well, and kind of learned that I enjoy turning complex ideas into simpler ideas for the broader community. And so I get to do that in my role now at the Broad College, specifically with faculty research. So trying to translate difficult finance or accounting research and, you know, digging into what's going on and simplifying that into a story that the larger community can really kind of grasp onto and understand. And because I think there's kind of a wall between academic research and the rest of the world. Second question, what excites me? I mean, that kind of goes right in line with it. I really enjoy kind of like reading the research articles, but, you know, whenever I pursue one of those kind of stories, I actually read the full academic paper, try to comprehend it myself, and then obviously talk with the faculty members to be able to kind of highlight the main points, the real world impact. But aside from all that, it's just pretty cool getting to work with others at the college, seeing how MSU really works, you know. Since I was a student and now I work here, it's kind of, you know, seeing the inside of the machine a little bit and getting to be part of like some of the magic that goes on and that Spartans will kind of creating some of those moments for our students. You know, that's really worthwhile too. In terms of advice, I would say take some time to learn about yourself, you know, figure out what it is you want to do. It's really important to pursue your passions. That's something that I've tried to do throughout all my career moves and my personal hobbies is identify the things that make you happy and try to make time for them. Some of my siblings, you know, haven't done the same and they've been a little bit frustrated with their career or whatnot. So take some time to kind of learn about yourself and pursue what you can. If you can get paid doing what you love, then obviously that's the dream.
Then you don't work a day in your life, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
When you think about storytelling, why do you think it's such an important part of the fabric of our society today?
I mean, storytelling helps people understand things, if kind of illuminating things with examples and the real world things that are going on help people relate to it. So instead of just facts on a sheet or a press release or, you know, something where you're spitting out accurate information, I think actual telling of the story, you know, allows the content to have a deeper meaning, a bigger impact. It might, I mean, ultimately, you know, change behavior, motivate someone to do something. I mean, we see that every day. One of the research stories I just recently wrote, we had the faculty member email me back and he said, I got an email from someone in the community. She was excited to read about the research. She's asking me all sorts of questions. You know, she can relate to it. One of her relatives, you know, relates to the content of the research somehow. So it's telling that story in a way that people can really connect and grasp with it, I think, goes a long way.
I want to talk a little bit about the story that you and I put together most recently, which was the 11 Spartan shops to shop at. It's a gift guide, if you will.
Yes.
What kind of response have you received on your end about that story?
We've received, honestly, like an explosive response. We were digging into the analytics of it just after a week of the gift guide being up, and it's received the most page views. For certainty, I can say within the past year, out of all the other news stories on the Broad College website. We want to dig into it and kind of see, you know, all time if it holds that title still. But just the fact that, you know, after being up for a week, it kind of earned that many page views. And that was, you know, over 10,000 or something, just to give you an idea. So it's been great. And on social media, we're seeing a lot of groups sharing it, both within MSU and beyond. You know, obviously, you and I are both sharing from our channels. We've seen the alumni group share it. Com Arts, NatSci, you know, fellow colleges sharing it, which is great because, you know, the list isn't only, you know, Broad majors. It touches all parts of campus, really. So that's been great. MSU, the institution level, shared it. But we've seen outside entities sharing it too. Like just yesterday, the Lansing Chamber shared it, tweeted it out. So that's great. You know, we're seeing it kind of pop up everywhere. And I'm, whenever I just go on personally on social media, I'm seeing it again. So it's really been a pleasant surprise. And clearly it's something that, you know, everybody is eager to read and wants to kind of consume, you know, see, oh, what are the Spartan businesses out there that I can support? So it's been great.
I was so excited, you know, when after the first week of it being up, we had received an email from one of our features, Bree Makarek of Bright Bites. She wrote and she was just over the moon. She's like, you have no idea how much interest that this has sparked. And, you know, this is so helpful. When you brought the idea to the table, I was so excited about it because, you know, there are tons of companies out there that Spartans have built, that Spartans are participating in. And the pandemic sort of did a number on some folks. And so to hear that we helped in some small way, that storytelling helped in some small way, that means a lot. It really does. And by no means are the 11 companies comprehensive, but I'll tell you what, it's sparked so many ideas going forward. It really has. And so thank you everybody for your positive feedback. And for those of you who have shared feedback that has been constructive, we thoroughly appreciate it. Really, really.
You took the words right out of my mouth. This is literally the tip of the iceberg. We've heard from so many other, you know, alumni and students and Spartans that say, hey, can I be on the list? And we will absolutely look forward to featuring, you know, more Spartans in the future years. I think this will kind of become a staple for us. We're, you know, you and I enjoyed putting it together. So I think we're already looking forward to next year. You know, next year's going to be bigger and better. So we love hearing from folks that were not on the inaugural list here, because that's, you know, that's how we can keep featuring new faces. So that's great. And I did want to just say one disclaimer. This was by no means my idea. It was something we had kind of kicked around with others at MSU. I'm just grateful that I was able to kind of bring it to fruition, obviously through your help and others, because it's just been a pleasure.
What perhaps has 2020 taught you?
I do think 2020 has taught me gratitude. You know, you brought up that's kind of a topic right now, and maybe another cliche, but simply in terms of work life, I'm grateful that I'm able to do my job from home. We all get Zoom fatigue and we're all going through various, you know, stress points with the pandemic and social, physical distancing and everything. But if you look at it, you know, I can do 100% of my job from my house, you know. So that's something that you should be able to reflect on and say, hey, that's actually not a bad thing. That's a pretty cool thing. You know, I've gone through waves of, you know, complaining and going through it, just as I'm sure everyone has. But that's been the biggest thing that I've learned, is being able to kind of take a step back and say, okay, what's the silver lining, or what's the one positive thing I can take from this to help me go forward. You know, I'm not going to get into the details, but I've had some personal things go on in this year as well. And the same thing applies there. Okay, even though this doesn't look good from the outside or on the surface level, what can we take from it? Is there something that I can say, this is helping me and I can be grateful for this? So
there's an author, Carl Honoré, who encourages folks to learn the value of slow. We live in a very fast-paced world. It's breakneck speeds. It's more, more, more. I think the thing that this time has done to us is made us really more reflective for good and ill, right? But I keep thinking about Carl Honoré and his philosophy and the value that that adds, especially in terms of entrepreneurs who also, you know, there was a philosophy that thrived in entrepreneurship that's, you know, move fast and break things. Where we are positioned at the Bridges Institute, we understand that philosophy, but we think that you have to move intentionally and break things with intention for discovery. So I think that's a clear takeaway from this time period. I just wanted to bring you on and express my gratitude for you and to say I'm so grateful that I have made a new friend and a writing partner.
Likewise. Yeah, we've definitely grown closer, you know, through this gift guide, and it's been a pleasure. So it's been great to kind of have a connection point regularly throughout the pandemic too. So
what do you think are the differences between entrepreneurship and business?
I don't know. I see some similarities and differences, obviously, for both. You know, you're trying to deliver a good or service, you know, achieve a mission, make some sort of profit. But I feel like for business, I guess the way I look at like entrepreneurship is you are kind of going off and doing your own endeavor. Business, you could be part of a larger organization or a corporation. So that's really all I tend to like wrap my mind around is when I think entrepreneurship, I think somebody kind of going off and doing their own thing, being their own boss. That's kind of what I get stuck on when I think about that.
I just saw this morning on LinkedIn, Michigan State had shared an article about snares to wares that appeared in the National Geographic. You're familiar with snares to wares?
Not really, no.
So it's a Michigan State initiative where these partners, they came together to curb poaching. They turned poaching snares in places like Uganda into art. It's absolutely fascinating. And I think one of the things that I think about consistently in terms of business versus entrepreneurship, I think people get confused that somehow entrepreneurs are just about being money hungry or like, I'm going to start this to equal profit, right? But I think when we choose to venture, we choose to do so because we are trying to solve a problem within our community, a problem that we see in the world. And I think Snares to Wares is one of those examples where it's about social good and it's about bringing an idea to the market where you can transform the world. And I think there's a value in that. And then to think about how you perpetuate or to grow a business or a model like that, you have to have some underpinnings. Yes, you have to invest in the entrepreneurial mindset. You also have to know how to transform an idea into a business model that will perpetuate itself, whether you're a nonprofit or you're a for-profit company or organization. What are some examples of social good businesses that you have seen are Spartans contributing to or starting that sort of inspire you?
I mean, I really like what York Project is doing. And I don't know Josh York. You know, I've only really worked with him a couple of times for some news stories. But the mission over there sounds great, especially with the rebranding. You know, he's doing everything manufactured right in Detroit and trying to use completely sustainable materials. So something like that resonates personally with me. I identify as, you know, an environmentalist, or at least I'm trying to be. So when I see a company that's doing that, keeping things local, using sustainable or reusable materials, upcycling things, you know, anything that kind of falls in line with that, I think is great and really important, because there is the triple bottom line out there. You've got to think of profit, people, and planet.
I think you are the fourth or fifth person to mention the triple bottom line on the Hatchcast within the last few months. And I think it's interesting because there's a mindset shift in terms of what is the corporate responsibility, what is the small business's responsibility to the planet. What do you think is going to be a trend moving forward? I mean, we move out of the pandemic. I mean, we've had this amazing opportunity to sort of hit the reset button. What kind of impact do you think this will have on businesses and their philosophies moving forward?
I think a big part of it is going to have to do with resiliency. I mean, because we all kind of had to go through that in one way or another, you know, this year. You know, MSU included in that as an institution pivoted to the remote learning, remote teaching, remote working. So I feel like we all kind of got a taste of that resiliency and what it takes or what we need to do differently going forward. In terms of, you know, like entrepreneurs, I think it'll be kind of along the same lines, you know, perhaps seeing products or services that enable resiliency a little bit more. You know what I mean? Maybe things that kind of help us prepare to be flexible or quickly change. I don't know what those will be, but something kind of, I think, around that mindset of being resilient and we need to prepare ahead of time, or, you know, be ready. In terms of like sustainability and the triple bottom line, I think it's kind of a slow progression. Like you said, I think we're getting a mindset change. I learned about the triple bottom line in my undergrad, which was 10 years ago now. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's not new to me or to a lot of people, but for some people, they're just now kind of learning about it. And okay, how do we approach that? Where does that fit into everything? So for that specifically, I think that'll just kind of hopefully slowly continue to happen. For me personally, I feel like some of the environmental stuff during the pandemic has kind of gone out the window, and rightfully so. We've got bigger problems right now than being able to recycle everything, for example, you know? So hopefully we can kind of balance the varying needs and priorities that we have going on.
I think that you hit the nail on the head right there, which is balance. It's very easy to go full tilt in one direction, but realizing that good business and good business practices need to revolve around a balanced approach. My last question is, as we turn toward the new year, what gives you great hope?
I guess what gives me hope would be the conversations I'm having with people. Lately, I've been trying to meet with the department heads in the Broad College and try to get a pulse for what's going on in their department. A lot of times we hear from the same folks, and so I'm trying to kind of hear what else might be going on or what's coming down the line that I can be prepared for and you know, cover, promote in some way. So when I was kind of meeting with each of those department heads, everyone seemed pretty positive, and you know, nobody was really down. Nobody was saying, God, I'm sick of this pandemic. Their attitudes were all really positive. They were excited to work with me and say, yeah, I've got a ton of things I need to tell you about. This is coming up. How can we do that? You know, so I kind of got some energy from each of them, and being able to kind of have that touch point that gets pushed to the back burner a lot. You know, we all have a ton of things going on, but to be able to kind of connect with those folks that I haven't seen, you know, literally in like a year almost, and they were still energized and excited to tell me what's going on, what's the latest news, what's coming up. And so that kind of made me excited to go into 2021 and all the stuff I have coming up professionally to work on. For me, I've been trying to spend some time on self-care. Make some time for you. I've been trying to do that. You know, I've developed a morning routine for myself. I'm trying to stick to it, to have just an hour in the morning where I kind of get my mind right and do the things I want to do. So that kind of gives me hope too, on a personal level, that I'm kind of taking some control back and making the time for the things that I want to do that I feel like I never get around to do. You know, they've been on my list forever, never get to do them. And so now I'm actually taking the steps to do the things I want to do and be the person that I want to be.
I love that.
Oh, thanks.
That makes my heart. Thank you. Chelsea, I am super grateful for you. I'm super grateful for your smarts, your dedication, your skill in writing and storytelling. And you're a good human, I'll tell you what. And so I'm grateful that I've gotten to work with you, and I look forward to working with you across 2021 and beyond.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. This is Gabe Hales from the Hatchcast. From everyone here, we just wanted to make sure to wish you all luck and support for finals week. We all know it's been a crazy semester, and we just hope you are all finishing it strong and can enjoy your break. So happy holidays from all of us at the Burgess Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. Thanks.
This episode of the Hatchcast is brought to you by the MSU Entrepreneurship Association. The MSUEA is a registered student organization open to all majors who are passionate about entrepreneurship. Find out more at msuea.org.
The Hatchcast is sponsored in part by Spartan Innovations. Spartan Innovations provides startups spinning out of MSU's ecosystem the commercialization support and financial resources necessary to turn MSU research technologies into successful Michigan businesses.
Hatchcast is an ongoing collaboration.
Hatchcast
is an ongoing collaboration.
This podcast was co-created
by Aaron Richard, Tyler Mihai,
and Kurt Krieger.
It is produced by the Burgess Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation
in cooperation with the MSU Foundation.
Gabe Hales
and Justice Keech are our sound engineers and editors.
Our co-producers include Brandon Weaver,
Gabe Hales,
Justice Keech, and Aaron Richard.
Original sound is created by Katya Gardina,
with help from Aubrey Haas,
Brandon Weaver,
Caitlin Setter,
Sydney Owinga,
Kurt Krieger, Tyler Mihai,
Gabriella Alum,
Jeff Smith,
Paul Jakes, Ken Smusiak,
Desiree Melfi Bozzo,
Neil Kane,
and Lori Fisher.
If you have any questions or comments, please
feel free to reach out at
hatchcast@msu.edu.
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 Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.